Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Rob Schaefer, joined today by Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, Tony and I react to the Bulls' back-to-back wins over the Lakers and Rockets, DeMar DeRozan's continued brilliance, Kobe White's bounce back against Houston. And at the end of the show, we quickly react to the breaking news that Devon Dotson has entered health and safety protocols.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
This is DeMar DeRozan, and you're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast.
We are recording here. All right, well, welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I'm Rob Schaefer. Me and Tony Gill today, we were talking before. We're just going to kind of hang for this one. Nothing really on the agenda other than breaking down the two games that the Bulls have played since getting back from their COVID pause. They're 2-0 since then. Quickly, just to get the COVID stuff out of the way before we get rolling here, because I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing about it. We're fatigued talking about it. Zach LaVine, Troy Brown Jr., Ayo Dosunmu, Alize Johnson, all still slated to be out until after Christmas. The Bulls play on Wednesday and then have three off days and then jump right back in with a back-to-back on the 26th and 27th. So stay up to date around then for updates on them. For now, the Bulls are, you know, weirdly looking like one of the more healthy teams in the league in the health and safety protocol respect. So hopefully they can continue moving in the right direction there. Putting all that aside, Tony, you, I believe for the first time this season, unless you went to a game as a fan that I didn't know about, were at the United Center. Is that the first time you were at the
United Center? Yeah, that's the first time I've been back to the United Center since the pandemic started.
Sunday night, Bulls Lakers, yep. Good one to go to. What were your impressions? What empty the take notebook after seeing this team live for the first time?
First, man, it was a lot of people in there. I think it looked like a sellout from what I was seeing. You know, sometimes, you know, Chicago, it can sometimes be a sports transplant city. So, you know, you had a lot of Lakers fans there, a lot of LeBron fans there. But mostly it was filled with Bulls fans. So that was cool to see. It was just cool getting back to, you know, seeing Cody Westerlund and Jamal and, you know, Bulls PR, like, and just going back because it was fun just catching up with everybody. But the sense that you get live that you don't get on TV is that this is truly a different basketball team. And I know they're a different basketball team and, you know, I watch them on TV, but being there live, being in a part of those press conferences, it's a different feel for the Bulls this year. And obviously it's because they're a lot better team. They have a lot better players. And if I can use the word of the last, you know, couple games, is the calmness factor of it. Like, no matter what happens during a game, you know the Bulls are going to be in it, and most likely they're probably going to win it. And for at least the first 30 plus games or so, that's what they've been doing. They're the second best team in the East record wise, and they've been winning most of these games. So you're used to them in close games, but you kind of feel confident that they probably should win this game, and that's what they've been doing. So it was a close game. Again, I thought LeBron was going to do a thing. He started to do a thing, but the Bulls and DeMar DeRozan stopped him. So that was a fun watch because the last time I was there, it was, you know, no disrespect, but, you know, Ryan Arcidiacono and, you know, that last group. I don't want to disparage.
You got to name more people than Arch. You can't throw only Arch under the bus there. That's brutal. Do you remember the last game that you were at in person specifically?
I do not actually. Yeah, it's been. I didn't go to anything during the pandemic season, mm-hmm. That means the year before that, so 2019, I think it was the last game I went to. So yeah, it's been crazy since then.
That Lakers game was one of the more fun games of the season. It was back and forth. It was high octane. The Bulls scored 29 points off turnovers, I believe. 15 fast break points. Am I right about that? 15 fast break points. And it was like you said, Tony, and I remember, you know, some of the first times we were seeing this group together in person. What stands out live that you don't get the full sense of on TV is the physicality, the pace, like the speed that they play with, mm-hmm. even if, you know, it doesn't always translate for the full 48 minutes in games where they play poorly. Like, they're just length on the perimeter, and the level of tempo that they play with is really exciting. There was just energy in the building. I have to think that taking 8 days off from games contributed to that, not only for the players, but also fans in mm-hmm. there. It was a good one to jump back into. You mentioned LeBron. Like, off the top of your head, this is just a feel question. How many games have you seen where he puts up a stat line like 31, 13, and 6, which I think he had? He's getting anything he wanted inside. He had that block of DeRozan inside mm-hmm. the last minute or two. Like, how many times the United Center does that game end with an opposite result? Like, it's a product of obviously the Bulls coming up into a new era and LeBron, while still, you know, one of the best five players in the league, the aging process is there. It's not happening the same for him as everybody else, but how different does that feel actually getting the best of that guy at the United Center? We had a graphic up on our broadcast that he's the leading score at the United Center, I believe, for an opposing player.
He's the leading scorer in United Center since like 95, 96.
Yeah.
So higher than Jordan. So it's like
that's LeBron, pretty amazing.
Jordan, like Levine, like Rose. But yeah, I mean, you're so used to LeBron, even if you're up on him for three quarters, just stalking you down, right? And this is how I know the aging process is happening, and you know the Bulls are actually getting better, or have been better this season. When LeBron puts up that stat line, it feels bigger, like it affects the overall game, mm-hmm. and now. It's really hard to explain. Like, somebody smarter than me would have to explain it, in terms of LeBron, but his individual stats doesn't really impact the game like it once did, right? Like, he can have these great numbers, but they still end up losing, and it doesn't feel scary. Like, LeBron isn't scary anymore, and I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I took away from that is, even with this, I tweeted out, like, and it, you know, it got some traction. KC kind of quote tweeted, like, the Bulls are more entertaining than the league's premier franchise, which is the Lakers, like, this season. And you felt that in that game, that, wow, like, even without their second or best player, Zach LaVine, not out there, with not a healthy Patrick Williams, with guys, you know, slowly coming back from COVID, the Bulls are still better than the Lakers, and that's really with LeBron James. So that was crazy to kind of, you know, realize, at least for this season, right? You know, who knows next season or the season after that, but this season, like, the Bulls are that team.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Lakers don't have Anthony Davis, and when the Bulls beat them early in the season, they didn't have LeBron for that game. But no, the point stands. I mean, they're a team that's, you know, floating around 500. Playing discussion in the West. The Bulls are, you know, pulling away as one of the top 2, 3, 4 teams in the East, second as of today. So yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, also just DeMar DeRozan. I mean, we should talk about him. Like, 19 points in the fourth quarter, 38 points, ties the season high with his other 38 point game against the Lakers this season. He said post game that is not a coincidence, which I thought was pretty funny. And also him just getting the best of the LeBron matchup. I mean, that's something that DeRozan has probably been derided for a lot throughout his career, just hitting that playoff wall over and over and over again. His poise, his kind of stabilizing nature late in these games continues to be a revelation. even at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and not even particularly down the stretch, he had 9 points, I think, in the opening couple minutes of that fourth, right as the Lakers were making their push back. And it was kind of the first haymaker of a lot of punches getting traded in that fourth quarter. It's just amazing how good he's been in those scenarios. And even without Zach LaVine, I mean, a lot has been credited to that kind of multi-pronged attack. Like, you kind of don't know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. But even without Zach, DeMar was still pretty spectacular, especially obviously shot making.
Should I apologize? I'm only going to half apologize about my thoughts on the DeRozan pickup. Because
why only half?
Well, my overall and my larger point was, how old is DeMar? 31,
32? 32. Let me keep talking. I'll factor.
My overall point was I wanted something a bit more stable in terms of a long term. If Zach and Pat are going to be the highlight, then you got to find pieces that can highlight them and grow that. I was here for the longer term thing because we gave Garpax that, and I felt like it was really like, we got to win now. Type of move with DeMar, and obviously fit. Like, there was a reason why so many people were concerned. Like, I don't want to completely dismiss that. There was reason for concern about fit with this roster once the DeMar move was made. Like, there were legitimate questions to be had. Obviously, it had to work out on the basketball court, which ultimately everything does, but there was reasons. And so far, those reasons haven't, you know, come up. That they haven't been an issue in terms of spacing, in terms of scoring wise or anything like that. DeMar has operated the way he does in the mid-range area, making plays for this team, and it hasn't been a concern. So yeah, for the short term, this has worked out better than any of us could have thought, right? Nobody saw them as the second best team in the East.
I'd be surprised if the Bulls even could confidently say that they saw themselves as that coming into the season. But what they did, and my reservations about the DeRozan move were mostly, were not fit related, but were tied to, like you said, the kind of how aggressive that win now move is stacked on top of the other win now moves without knowing what the ceiling of the group is. It was kind of a wait. I remember us saying, like, it was kind of a wait and see. We got to see what this looks like. Mm-hmm. A lot of what the series of moves that this front office has made is going to be predicated, like, the how we look at those moves is going to be predicated on how this season goes. It's obviously gone exactly according to plan so far. What they assessed and what they jumped on was the possibility of being, you know, we've said this before, this year's Suns, this year's Hawks, this year's, in such a disrupted timeline of the NBA right now because of COVID, injuries, teams just flat out underperforming, stars being dissatisfied. I mean, that's going to happen every year. You're going to have two or three marquee players who are going to become dissatisfied with the situation, and things don't pan out for that team as much as people might think at the beginning of a season. I'm thinking Ben Simmons specifically in the
rule changes context. That's impacting, you know, Harden and Trey.
Yeah. Well, Harden's figured it out, and Trey is still having a pretty phenomenal season, although both are in COVID protocols right now. So get well soon. But what the Bulls have, the risk assessment that they did was, you know, with in mind that if things just look wonky in the East this year and we have a competent, reinvented team that has addressed a lot of the weaknesses that we had last year, we're going to be in a position to be in the game and then potentially, you know, rise to the top. And that's kind of what they've done. We'll see how it goes throughout the rest of the season. But this is clearly, obviously, a playoff team. This is a team that's going to have home court advantage in the first round, in my opinion, right now. I'd be kind of surprised if they didn't. You know, I just think the style, with how good they've been defensively and with how much reliable shot making and shot creation they have between Zach and DeMar when they're healthy late in games, there's just a lot about this that feels sustainable to me. And as we've talked about,
how sustainable? Like, for the prolonging of this season? Or because, again, that leans back towards my worry about the way they built this team in the first place.
Yes. No. When I say sustainable, I mean, like, through, you know, the end of season, this season, and then we got to see what it looks like moving forward. Obviously, you've got the Zach a decision this summer that's going to impact a lot of that. And moving forward, it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to continue to redo things on the fly, and it's going to be hard to staff this team depth wise just with the deficit of assets that they're at. But we talked about this in free agency, like the level of creativity they showed last offseason should give fans confidence that they can figure out. It's going to be a maze, as it was to get here. It was a maze to get here, and they navigated it. Now, moving forward, it's even more so. But I don't know. I think I saw Ricky O'Donnell tweet this last night. Like the big picture of that last offseason, in the first active offseason of AKME, the fact that they got the two best free agents in Bulls franchise history, like, you know, would you have taken that when he first accepted the job? Probably. Yeah. Would you have taken 19-10? I mean, for a team that's been lost in the wilderness as seemingly as long as these Bulls have, like 19-10, I still feel like fans don't, you know what to do with themselves a little bit. It's like, it's almost surreal.
I mean, in terms of your, like, you know, sustainable. Yeah, I think for this season, it is sustainable. But we're going to do this every year for the next 2 years in offseason, right? Where if this team stays the same, I mean, the ceiling, right, on this team isn't – it kind of rides with, like, what, Patrick Williams, right, what he ends up being.
We're just going to have – I mean, we're going to have the same conversation cycle about Pat going in the next season that we did going into this season. That's what's so disappointing about his injury. Even if the Bulls have withstood it in terms of, like, his actual on-court impact, like, he wasn't playing well at the beginning of the season. I don't think the team's level of success has been affected that much based on how he was playing early in the season. But that was always the biggest, you know, unfortunate wrinkle of that, was that he is such an X factor, and even as an X factor going into the next season. And, you know, this time is just lost. I hate to say it, but it's just unfortunate.
I did have a question, Rob, and it's something that I saw on Twitter about DeMar. And it was brought up by a guy that used to cover the team. He's moved on, Brian Crawford.
Okay.
BC. So shout out to BC for this. And something that I think Bulls fans should just take note of, right? DeMar has had great regular seasons, but his playoff performances have been lacking. Is that something that I haven't thought about that in a long time? And obviously, because he's been playing so well, he's been like an MVP candidate. It's not something that I put a lot of thought into, but it was something that, you know, I was like, that is factually true. Like, he hasn't had the best playoff runs. Are you not worried, but should it be a cause for concern for Bulls fans to know DeMar's history in the playoffs, or does it matter really at all at this point?
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, if you're concerned about that, I empathize with it. Like, I don't think it's irrational. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, I don't know that that has been something that's been talked about heavily with DeMar the last three seasons, because he's been in San Antonio, and that just hasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when they've made the playoffs, it hasn't been a team that's had high playoff expectations.
Right.
And what he really reinvented himself with the Spurs. Like, it seems like mentally, he just is at such, you know, his poise, his peace, his, like, calm on the court is at a different level than it was earlier in his career. Obviously, he grew as a facilitator, you know, in terms of taking care of the basketball, his efficiency, just generally, even shot making efficiency, even though he's still getting so much of his offense from the mid range. Like, he reinvented himself in so many ways during that stint that I almost think this year's playoff reintroduction for him could be just that. And, like, maybe it's all different this time around. And the other thing to consider there is, during his past kind of playoff run-ins that didn't go so well. And we're going a little off the cuff here, 'cause I haven't dug into the actual specifics of it, like who exactly he played well or played poorly against. But my big picture memory of that period of time is that the LeBron wall was just insurmountable. And it was for everybody in the East during that, you know, stretch of time. That immovable force doesn't seem to quite exist anymore. Not only is the conference better and deeper than it's been in a long time, there's also a little bit more parity. Although I do think the Bucks, when they're healthy, are probably a step above everybody else and are a terrible matchup for the Bulls on paper. So, again, I've said this before, but I'm really curious to see what they look like when they match up. But I think those two elements, how much he has reinvented himself as a player, how energized he is right now. He's having one of the best seasons of his career, if not the best season of his career, in year 13. That's pretty remarkable. That would give me a level of confidence that maybe you don't have to read too much into the past playoff performance and just how different the Eastern Conference landscape is. I mean, these Bulls have already beaten the Nets twice. Mm-hmm. Like that's just one example. And you know, out in the Western Conference, they've beaten a lot of the top teams too. So it doesn't existentially concern me this early in the season, mm-hmm. but I mean, absolutely, it's something to monitor. And assuming this team continues to play at this level and goes into the playoffs in a similar type of standing, 2-4 in the East, like it's going to be a storyline. It's going to be something to watch. But he's playing with such confidence right now. We should also probably mention he's never really played with another perimeter player like Zach LaVine before. As mm-hmm. you know, it's well documented on the show how much I love Kyle Lowry. Like, just in terms of scoring, like he's just never. I think you could say Zach is maybe his best teammate ever, just in terms of pure like offensively how they share the load with each other. So there's, I think you could be concerned about it, and I wouldn't blame you. But I also think there's a good amount of things hypothetically on the other side of that ledger mm-hmm. that would give me confidence that this time could be different. So we'll see. And also the fact that, you know, the Bulls are a good defensive team. It's not mm-hmm. as much as DeMar is the MVP of this team to this point in the season. He's an MVP candidate around the league to this point in the season. You know, it's not like they aren't, you know, staffed with good players. You know, this is a team that at the top, it's top heavy roster, but at the top is, you know, star studded with Zach and Vooch and Lonzo being just the perfect fourth option, Caruso. So yeah, let me tie a bow on it by saying I get the concerns. I think there's reason to believe it could be different at this time, but we'll see.
I'm certainly interested, and it's great that we can kind of fast forward to when the Bulls get to the playoffs, because that's kind of where you know where it's heading for this team, which is interesting. I also had another tidbit from me being there at Bulls Lakers after the game, while you guys were in the press conference room. I joined via Zoom. I stayed in my seat in the arena, and who do I see strolling out after the game, after his meetings with his coaches, is Coby White, putting up some extra shots in an empty gym after they won against the Lakers, which he didn't play, you know, great, but he did have that dunk on LeBron, which was crazy because, you know, Coby is not the most athletic guy, but he got up on that dunk. And then the next game against Houston comes out and, you know, scores a bunch of points. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, and I know we're kind of going back and forth with asking each other questions. Yeah. But what were your thoughts on, you know, Kobe's game? And again, it's the Rockets.
Yeah.
I know that.
But it's been such tough sledding for Coby this season. Yeah. Like, you can't afford to say, okay, well, this opponent, you can't take positives away from. Mm-hmm. It was a tough reintroduction against the Lakers until that fourth quarter when, you know, he had a couple nice moments. The dunk got to the foul line. I thought against the Rockets, and Billy agreed with this post game, he looked noticeably more aggressive. He got up 15 shots, was 5-9 from three. So the threes are falling. That's obviously great to see. To me, it looked like, and I would maybe have to rewatch to say this with 100% certainty, but it looked like they were letting him bring the ball up the floor a little bit more, initiate sets, kind of have the first touch in different possessions, which, you know, for a player like Coby, I know people want him to just come in and drill, catch and shoot threes and, you know, that to work on paper. But, you know, he's a guy that has played with the ball in his hands a lot. His first, certainly last year he did. And then towards the end of, his first season, although he was, you know, coming off the bench, he was playing a lot off the ball his first season. But even that, like that dynamic that I just hit on quickly there, it speaks to something Billy said post game, which is that it's not just that Kobe's going through the injury stuff, the COVID stuff. He's also, and it's not just that he's on a completely different team than he was on last year. He's in a just night and day different role. You know, he's not at the center of things. He doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot. He's not having, you know, plays or sets run for him necessarily in the way that guys like Zach, DeMar, and Vooch are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just hasn't been around this team as this like pretty remarkable on-court chemistry has been formed in the first, you know, third of the season. He just hasn't been there except for 9 or 10 of those games. And, you know, obviously, you know, other than I think we could call this his third, you know, positive game of the season. Other than those games, it's been pretty rocky. I think it was good to see that against Houston. Shots fell. It looked like he was getting his rhythm and timing back a little bit. It looked like the Bulls were, you know, intentionally
looking to him and looking to get him involved. The two-man game with Vooch, that still just has nice moments. I think they clearly have a chemistry from last season. So, you know, if there are moments where Kobe looks most comfortable, especially facilitating, it's playing with Vooch. And yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it's just another thing Billy said is that it's kind of a testament to his bounce back ability, Kobe White's. Like Billy's talked about that ad nauseum since last season, how he's a guy that works and isn't deterred by bumps in the road, even if things don't immediately get better or he does have ups and downs. Like he has a selective amnesia that I think a lot of good, you know, professional athletes have, where you can kind of leave the bad of yesterday behind you. So yeah, good, encouraging performance from Kobe. The bench as a whole, 66 points was a season high. This team, I think, is averaging 25 points a game off the bench coming into yesterday. That was 29th in the league. But they got, you know, Alphonso McKinney. We should talk about him. He's a tremendous, tremendous story. He had 16. Mm-hmm. Tyler Cook had 11. Tony Bradley even had 8. Like the whole bench situation with how shorthanded this team is and with how heavy a minutes the key players are playing, it was big, big, big to get those types of contributions from them. And Kobe being at the forefront of it is good because as much as, you know, people like to write Kobe off as a trade candidate, a trade asset. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are just happy to see him play well because it raises his trade value, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. There also is a world, and I think there's a world where he could be traded, but there's also a world where Kobe could still play an important role for this team and they could need him. You know, the more games like that, whichever scenario you're rooting for, he needs to play well for the Bulls to actualize his value in some way, whether it's for them or somebody else.
Yeah, bench scoring is going to be a thing throughout the season and the playoffs for this team. And I do think Billy should try and get Kobe more actively involved when he's on the court, running some stuff for him, allowing him to bring the ball up to initiate, just to get him a good like lather, because he's the best scorer that they have off the bench, and that's something that they are severely, severely lacking. So, you know, he has to, you know, mix up the DeMar and LaVine minutes in with that group just to, you know, just to get some scoring or to keep pace at least. So when Kobe isn't, you know, putting up shots, you can note it's a noticeable difference in how the bench is going to play if he's not aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, I mean, maybe, you know, I think Kobe needs a, you know, a more defined role, right?
Yeah.
Let him know what you need from him, right? Obviously, we want him to be a basketball player, make the proper plays, but I think to get the best out of him, he needs to put up shots.
Yeah.
And he's not just the catch and shoot guy. He's a guy that needs to find a rhythm, you know, in the game to get going. And sometimes that needs to be manufactured a little bit from, you know, a play calling standpoint, instead of just kind of if he's out there with Lonzo or Caruso, who's running point. I'm just kind of them just trying to figure out, OK, what's the best play, stuff like that. They need to. I would like to see, I'm not going to say they need to, they're obviously winning games. Yeah, I would like to see a little bit more action towards Kobe's way.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why a game like against Houston, I mean, obviously the Bulls have lost to Houston this season, so you're not going to take Houston lightly, mm-hmm. but a game like that where you're up for most of it, you're dominating, the game was never really in question after, you know, a little push and pull in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Like that's a good game to flex some of that stuff. And it seemed like the Bulls did, maybe not in terms of like running off ball actions for him or anything like that, mm-hmm. but getting the ball in his hands a little bit more. And, you know, maybe that performance is a confidence booster. Maybe it's something he can build off of. The Bulls certainly hope so. Tony, did you watch Alphonso McKinney's post game availability last night?
I did not.
That would have been, see, obviously you'd rather be there for the Laker game, but if you were there for this one, he is an awesome talker. Chicago native, West Side mm-hmm. native, grew up, he said, 10 or 15 minutes from the United Center, mm-hmm. and, you know, called it the biggest dream come true to play for the Bulls. He was obviously with Windy City a couple years ago. That didn't mm-hmm. pan out in terms of getting to the big leagues. But he has, you know, had stints in Cleveland and Golden State. Started his career, he said, in Toronto, where he got to know DeMar a little bit. Mm-hmm. Was with the Lakers with Caruso. So McKinney was originally in on a 10-day via hardship and got a second one. I think the day of the Rockets game on Monday. Am I crazy? And I know KC agrees with me because he wrote it last night. But am I crazy to think that this guy should maybe be someone that the front office considers keeping around for the rest of the season, especially with Matt Thomas's contract being guaranteed? I just look at him and I see a guy who's 6'7", 6'8", can really shoot, can get on the glass, can defend multiple positions, play 3 and 4. And I'm like, this is kind of exactly what this roster needs. And he looked ready for the moment. So I don't know. It's just it might be a small sample size to take that away from. It might not even matter because we're talking about end of the roster guys when this team is fully staffed. But I don't know. It's a thought that was crossing my mind watching him fly all over the place and tear it up last night. I was like, man, this guy's kind of what we've been asking for in terms of a bench piece for this roster for, you know, this whole season.
He's certainly better than Stanley Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to sign Stanley Johnson, you know, you might as well, you know, put, you know, Alonzo on the roster. But yeah, you're right. I liked him. I noticed him in Golden State. I thought he played really well for the Warriors, considering, you know, they were still like a bad team. But he, in certain spots, he was actually performing and contributing to that team. And I figure if you can work your way and do well in a, you know, sophisticated Steve Kerr, you know, style of play system, I feel you can do pretty well here. So when they signed him, I'm like, wow, was he on the street? Really? I thought he was on a roster somewhere. Cause I thought he was good with the war. That was the last time I remember thinking about Alonzo McKinney before they signed him to the first 10-day here. And I was just surprised that he was just on the, just chilling.
Yeah. Well, he's in the G League. He was with the Mexico City G League team.
Okay.
And balling out. I mean, shooting over 40% from three and I think averaged over 20 a game. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, yeah, said he got the call. He was in Greensboro for a matchup with the Charlotte Hornets G League affiliate, presumably. Hmm. Met the Bulls in Miami, and he's, I mean, that's the thing with these guys, and you feel for the 10-day people, especially like a guy like we say, you know, we joke that he's better than Stanley, but even Stanley got a 10-day call, and then immediately enters COVID protocols, and that chance to kind of showcase yourself is taken away from him. It was kind of messed up for Alfonso too, just because with the Bulls COVID pause, two games. The schedule for the time being. No practices, really. Yeah, that's difficult. And, you know, if he hadn't gotten renewed for that second 10-day, he would have gotten two games and really very limited run to kind of showcase his talent. So whether it's with the Bulls or somewhere else, the fact that he was able to get in and have a game like last night, I mean, that's just great for him personally. He stayed ready and looked pretty good, man. 4-6 from three. Mm-hmm. I just – even in that Lakers game when he didn't necessarily have the gaudy stat line, he was – hustling all over the place, especially in that third quarter, getting offensive rebounds, steals, you know, stymieing fast break opportunities for Los Angeles. I don't know. I haven't watched much of him in his career, but I've been pretty impressed from what I've seen thus far, especially when we're talking about a guy that could potentially be that, you know, ninth or 10th guy when this team is fully healthy. Mm-hmm. He fits the bill for me, but we'll see what the Bulls do. Little bit of breaking news here, and we're working on getting this confirmed, but shout out to Darnell Mayberry over the Athletic who had this first. Devon Dotson has entered COVID protocols. So just as the Bulls, you know, we thought we could see the light at the end of the tunnel here. That's an unfortunate development for Devon. He's another guy who came off the bench last night at 5 points, 4 assists, and especially with the Caruso injury, the foot sprain that he suffered and left the game. Dotson came in and played pretty well. So, you know, all best to him. You know, whatever that, you know, protocol entry portends, we will see.
I got enough more breaking news.
Oh, no.
Chicago Bulls are signing guard Matt McClung to a 10-day hardship deal, according to Sharania in the Athletic and Stadium.
Okay. I watched a little bit of McClung in college. I remember him being kind of, you know, a fun college player. I don't really know much about what his NBA stops or G League stops have been like to this point, but
he's scorer Caruso.
Okay, so he's white. So he's white, and he can score.
He can jump.
Okay. All right. Well, and that just shows you, man. I mean, I really said it at the beginning. I wanted to come into this podcast. didn't want to talk COVID, and it's just it's everywhere. even for a depth signing like this, I mean, that's necessitated obviously by the roster shorthandedness, and you know, the Bulls, I mean, from the guys that have been on the roster all season, I've had a next man up kind of vibe going for a lot of the season. It's obviously worked on more nights than not. So we'll see if Mac McClung is able to bring anything there. And, you know, you have to think that might have something to do. Obviously, this was reported before the Dotson entry, but if those two things were connected, kind of the, we have one, you know, guard going out, a depth piece, maybe we bring another in for that on that temporary basis. So, oh, we'll see how he looks at the, you know, if he really is the scorer Caruso, maybe he'll get a MVP chance or something. I mean, it's so funny. The fact that DeMar got him against the Lakers, and I had people in my mentions saying like, oh, they actually, the United Center crowd, they actually chanted MVP for the MVP candidate. That's refreshing. And I actually think Caruso would agree. I remember him saying, was he getting him in the preseason or was it just one of the first regular season games? He said that he was kind of hoping that he could, you know, establish a little bit of a rapport with the team, actually, you know, do some stuff before getting MVP chance, but he appreciated it nonetheless. I think Marco got, I didn't even tweet it, but Marco got an MVP chant or two when he got to the free throw line last night. So, you know, even other Chicago sports, we don't need to address on this podcast, but the Bulls vibes are pretty good around them right now. That's that at the very least.
Enjoy it, Bulls fans. Enjoy this season. You never know when you're gonna get another one of these. So enjoy it.
Tony, you sound post trauma, man. Oh my god. And yeah, enjoy it. I think we've hit everything from these two games. Bulls next suit up Wednesday against the Raptors, then have a little 3-day break for the holidays. So we will be back later in the week, probably to talk about that Raptors win and anything else that might arise over the course of the week. Thanks for joining us on the Bulls Talk Podcast. Thanks to Tony for being on with me today. We hope you guys have a safe and happy holidays wherever your holiday goings on take you. And we will see you on Friday. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning.